Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
It's time for Enlightenment in the City with El Hosho Tara on the News for the Soul Network. El is a spiritual coach and intuitive reader with a unique flair. Strong yet soft, compassionate with a heart, she lives the consciousness of being feminine with strength. El tells it like it is. Welcome El Hosho Tara back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. My name is El Hosho Tara. I'll be your host for this hour here on newsforthesoul.com. You can go to our website to write in. You can go to our website to find our phone number, and you can give us a call. So today we're actually going to talk a little bit about self-defense mechanisms, because this is a really big topic right now when we're seeing this divide sort of happen. And so what will happen is you'll get people who are in pain and suffering who, you know, kind of have the idea like you should always understand, and then you have the other people who are just like, well, get over it. And which is true. It's actually both, but it's not quite as it's not quite necessarily as rude as it can come across, where people are like, just get over it. Because if you actually know more about how the human mind works, like I do, it actually doesn't work that way. And it really depends on where somebody is in the process, how much trauma they've been through, that there are actually certain things that can actually affect the brain that will need to be worked out. There's actually certain things that affect the body from trauma that need to be worked out, and they can be worked out through the proper processing, and this is really important. When you've got those sorts of traumas, you're really looking at things that deal with neurological manipulation. So you're looking at like the things that the Borel Institute does, and there are other institutes who do similar sort of things. I'm a fan of the Borel Institute, not that I've studied either of them, but I am a fan because I've read some of the founders of the methodology. I've read his books, and my best experiences with those methodologies have been with people who have studied a lot through the Borel Institute. Now, I'm not saying the other institutes are not as good. I'm just a huge fan of the Borel Institute because I've personally seen what's capable, and then I've read also including like what's capable even more. And there are a lot of physical things that can actually happen in the body that can affect your mood. And we've heard this before, but people don't usually understand to the degree that it's going to affect a person, especially if they've been through traumas. For example, I've been in more than one car accident, and if I had listened to a conventional doctor, quite frankly, I would not have gotten anything fixed. I really want to say this because the things that the Borel Institute will work on are things that, quite frankly, I've never heard before anywhere. And even having done a lot of study on the subject of like how to heal the body, how to heal the mind, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I've never still, even with all the studying I've done, I've never come across anything regarding the Borel Institute or what they've done. Through all the studying that I've done. Now, I've heard it in little whispers here and there, but, you know, I didn't know about it much at the time, so I didn't follow it. But, you know, for the amounts of studying that I've done for, like, well over a decade, having come across it, you know, in quiet whispers sort of like once really is, you know, this very minute sort of thing where you're not going to get what you need done. And if you need those particular modalities. So the different modalities are very important. And there's things like, you know, in your, I'm not going to say it's rib cage, in that sort of like area, and I'm going to give a very wide scope of like that trunk area, there are different ways that the nerves can actually have an effect on your fight and flight. And if that is not physically resolved, it becomes very hard not to quote unquote overreact. And it can also be very hard to do when the fight or flight is calmed down. And when there's physical issues, but not physical issues that need to be dealt with through physical manipulation, but there's physical aspects of it that need to be resolved through trauma, somatic therapy can actually help resolve that. But it's actually having the way that the processing is done, it has a physical effect in the body, and that physical effect in the body will then change how people react to certain things. It's a really, really interesting process. And if somebody is in need of those things and they're not getting them, they're not going to get the results that they will get to the degree that it is possible to resolve and have healing without those specific modalities. Because when you have a specific need for something, let's say a broken leg, if you do not have the leg fixed, obviously it's going to be a lot harder to go out and function in life if you're trying to walk on a broken leg, or if that leg breaks and it's not set properly. Now, we don't understand this, generally speaking, when we're dealing with how the effects are in the mind. And even people who do a lot of this work, they haven't heard of some of these other modalities. And it's been actually shocking to me for reading like many books from doctors, et cetera, for example, and they're talking about how their own medical journeys, even at schools like Harvard, did not prepare them to heal some of the different health issues that are out there. And even in by very, very accomplished physicians, I have still not heard of things that can actually have an effect on how the person is operating otherwise, such as the somatic therapy, such as the stuff from the Boral Institute. So it's really important to understand that there are things that do affect the person that are going to be beyond their control until they go to the proper modality. And a lot of these modalities that I'm mentioning here are in North America, not generally widely understood. And why is this important? Because when they're not widely understood, there's not enough sort of like guidance towards going to see the people in these different modalities, and people don't mention them or they don't know that much about them. And I've had this experience with doctors, and they're more just likely to tell you things like, well, you know, that's just the way it is. Or, you know, the test came back wrong, or the test came back fine, therefore there's no problem. You know, you must be making it up, or you must be lying, or it's all in your head, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, and it's not true. Now, here's the problem. So this explains why, like, when people have been through trauma, they can often feel stuck and feel like they're getting picked on because they know that there's an answer, but they're not getting the help that they need necessarily. Now, And I'm good for guidance for that, to help people get to the proper modalities. I'm good for that. You do have to make sure, though, that you're going to the right one with you. You're always going to have more information than I do. And you also have to pick a good practitioner in that modality. And you're responsible for that. You're also responsible for who you listen to when you're getting told, nah, you don't have to do that, by somebody who doesn't know much on the subject, and this will happen with medical professionals, unfortunately. So there's that side of like why there needs to be more understanding that things don't just get magically resolved. Now, on the flip side of the equation, when people are saying, well, just get over it and just do it, there's a point to that as well. And when people have been very traumatized, unfortunately, there are some common reactions to it that actually break trust. And that actually help people stay stuck or get kept stuck. And those things can be worked out without somatic therapy. They can be resolved more, or you can get more breakthroughs without somatic therapy. But the person has to actually do their work. And this is when you get these issues. You're going to get people in trauma that are going to go two ways. And a lot of people will actually go both ways. It just depends on what point in time they're doing it. So you'll get people who are going to do anything it takes to heal. You're going to do anybody who's going to take, and within this, they're going to do like whatever it takes. They're going to learn. But nobody's perfect. So you're not going to have like, you know, this sort of like impossible expectation that you're going to do exactly that, everything exactly that you need to, and exactly every single moment. And that sort of expectation is usually because people don't know it as much, or they're using it as an excuse to sort of like be in the ego, to hold other people down, to sort of like, you know, be in their ivory tower and be snotty and like, you, how dare you, not new, you have had the spots on the butterfly, you know. And if people don't have these resources in the beginning, if they've never been taught this stuff, it takes time to find the modalities. It takes time to find a proper practitioner in the modalities. And it still takes time for things to unfold. So it's not an instantaneous process. And of course, you know, when you have somebody who's raised in those sorts of environments, it's a lot easier to say, well, you should be able, you should do this, you should do that, and just do it. Because generally speaking, if you've got somebody who's been raised in those environments where healthy behaviors are expected, you've got somebody who's spent a lifetime being on the receiving end of healthy behaviors versus somebody who is on the receiving end of a bunch of unhealthy behaviors for their entire life. It takes a lot of time to sort it out, and they may go through a lot of attack while they're doing it. And, you know, people are like, well, they should just do it anyways. You know, if it was that easy to change behaviors, you know, somebody could have a little bit more understanding than just, you know, like being completely ignorant and saying this is how it should just be resolved. Problem with that is that when you get some of these common behavioral patterns, in terms of when, when you've got some of these different behavioral patterns, what can happen is that people, they get scared of getting attacked, but also there's other things like people start to feel like they're entitled. And this is where things start causing the problem. It's also why the higher levels will start to just stay away or give a wide berth. And there can be with some people this sort of like sense of entitlement where, you know, like I've been hurt, therefore I should be allowed to hurt other people. And it's like, no, that's how abuse spreads. And, you know, people don't understand that, you know, they really want it to be a certain way. They're mad, they're angry. You know, they want to lash out. They don't think it's fair, but they don't, what they don't realize is that they can actually walk away from abuse themselves. And in codependency, walking away from bad behaviors is considered actually wrong. It's considered rude, and people tend to get in a lot of attack for that. So people get actually, the more codependency there is, people actually get attacked for doing healthy behaviors, and they attack other people for doing them as well. So healthy expectations, you know, this idea that you should be solution-oriented, that you can resolve things, often ends up being attacked, and people just don't want to do it. So like, let's look at the entitlement, you know, like, I'm entitled to your resources is one idea that goes around a lot. You know, I'm entitled to somebody else's resources because I didn't have any and they had them. Okay, well, let's look at that for a second. There's different ways to get resources. For example, going to school, there are things like scholarships. Now, some people are like, well, they shouldn't have to apply for a scholarship. Other people just got it, so they should just get it too. Well, not exactly. I mean, there's always things that people have to go through in order to get scholarships. And for some parents, quite frankly, with money, if the child is not, like, say, of college age, if the child is not performing, is not taking their studies seriously enough, they'll actually require that, even in rich families, that the person will get a job and they'll actually work their way through college, or at least to some degree, or if they want spending money. So you get this sort of like sense of entitlement with a lot of codependency about like things should just be given to me that actually don't exist the way that people think it does. Now, do some people give their kids, you know, a complete and total ride through college? Absolutely. But there's a lot of but there's a lot of things like where people are expected to actually have healthier behaviors along with it. It's not just a, oh, you know, give them $10,000 a month, you know, extra, and they can just blow it and be complete and total assholes. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, every family is like that, but these sort of like unserving behaviors and thought processes that happen in codependency, people kind of think that it works a certain way with these really bad behaviors, and they think that they should magically be entitled to them as well. And the people who do get away with those bad behaviors in say richer families, they usually don't have enough regard to sort of like just give a bunch of money away to people who haven't worked for it. It's not theirs. They don't usually have as much of a high regard for a lot of people. Or, and you'll find this more often, they actually do give a lot of money to help, but they give money to help people who are willing to help themselves. So that money to be gifted, the safest way to do it, quite frankly, is to charities that will give to people who are actually willing to work for it. And then the charities, like, sort through the money, the charities do things. And you'll see this with scholarships. There's different ways to sort through the money to make sure that the money that they're investing doesn't just go downhill. Now, when you got a lot of codependency, people think that even if they're not really going to do the work, even if the money's just going to be wasted, you know, people should just give them the cash and they should understand, or they should mind their own business. And no, that's actually not the way it works, because, you know, if somebody's donating, say, $50,000 for scholarships, somebody's had to work to make that amount of money, and not just that year, but they've had to work to build up their businesses. They've had to work to go to school. There's a lot of work that becomes involved to make enough money to, you know, be able to just generously give away $50,000 without a second thought. And when people don't understand that, and the poor, you know, when people are very poor, when there's a sense of entitlement, some people have a more of an understanding of this, and then some just think they should be given the money no matter what. So, you know, you can either screw somebody who actually would be doing the work, which is what people look for when they're giving away money, or you can just give it to somebody who's really not going to get off their ass, in which case, you know, you're just blowing the money for no good reason. So, and these thought processes that you get in, like, traumatized communities, that you get in poor communities, actually burn people, not just people who are rich, but it actually burns other people in their community, and they're getting burned by other people in their community as well, where it becomes like you should just give them a bunch of stuff regardless of, you know, how they treat you, regardless of whether it's good for you, regardless of the impact that it has on you. Even though they know it hurts when they're getting it from other people, some people don't see anything wrong with it when they're doing it themselves. And this will create these sorts of problems, and it's one of the reasons why people are stuck. It's one of the reasons why people are in pain, but they don't necessarily want to get out of it. Now, with those bad sorts of attitudes, if you come in to this planet or onto this planet with a family that's already got a ton of money, or if you've already won the lottery, for example, then, you know, it can seem like, you know, maybe people get away with it. But people at the highest levels, the ones who thrive, understand that those bad behaviors, they're saying no to the people who've got the bad behaviors. It's just when people don't have those advantages, they don't necessarily realize it. And those bad behaviors, especially somebody's just starting out and they don't have the money, they not only make it harder to get ahead, they can actually stop people on their tracks. Toxic behavior, demands for money, senses of entitlement, all create people that are harder to deal with, point blank and simple. And that doesn't go away just because people have this idea that rich people get away with it. Well, rich people don't completely and absolutely get away with it, because guess what? Rich people get rejected too. Rich people still don't like being on the receiving end of really shitty behaviors. Nobody does. And it takes a while for some people to be able to understand that. And that's part of the reason why they don't get ahead in life. So there's sort of like got to be this maturity, which is the understanding that I have to do my work. And so, you know, when you have this understanding that you've got to do your work, and you've got to do it in enough different areas, including kindness, including finances, including taking care of your stuff, including working out your issues, resolving anger, resolving senses of entitlement, resolving codependency, all these sorts of things. Those are the things that will actually help and make an impact, and they'll make an impact in every area of life. Without those things, people tend to stay stuck. And the nice thing about this is people can build these things up within themselves. And you can make headway even without a lot of money. It's just easier to make the headway as you make more money. But the nice thing is when you start, that's when you get more opportunities to make more money, or you get easier opportunities, or you get other ideas of how things are going to work. And so it becomes clearer what path it is that you need to take. And this is what I do for you, so that you can make your dreams come true. So these things are really important. And the reason there's this sort of like divide is like people just don't necessarily understand about having to do the work. And this plane, again, I've said this in the past, this plane is extraordinarily rewarding for people who do their work. And it's a very, very hard plane for people who think that they don't have to do their work, whether it's being kind, well, you know, whether it's being financially secure. And in my age or older, you see this a lot where you get women who think that they don't have to work, and you get men who think that they don't have to treat women very nicely. So they're paying all the bills, so they treat a woman like shit. So what are they looking for? They're looking for a woman who is not very financially secure, because she won't have as many options to leave, so she stays and he can rule the roost. Now, a lot of women, they don't like being abused like that, but they don't necessarily want to go get a job. So, you know, the only way to, so if you, you know, a woman, the only way for a woman to stay safe, quite frankly, is she has to be financially secure so that she can make choices that are going to be more suitable and serving for her. Because if you don't have those financial safety mechanisms in place, you're going to be, it makes it a lot harder to make some of the choices that you need to make in your life. And in poor communities, you know, like being rich is considered bad. So when you, or if people have codependency issues around finances, they'll actually make it wrong to go and do the things that will help to get you ahead. Because if people don't have these things enough in their own life, they'll actually, and so this is another reason why you get this divide, is because you get people who need more money, who think other people should get them their money, but they won't work for it. And they even think it's bad if they have to work for it. And they'll attack other people who do have the money for not giving it to them, even though the person who has the money has the money because they've done the work for it. So to give when people have a lot of codependency and finances is actually a very dangerous prospect. You have to do it very, very carefully. And, you know, people don't understand that, or they think that's wrong or bad if they've got enough finances, if they don't have the finances in gear, or if they've got too much codependency in the area of finances. And what will happen is, you know, the places where people can help themselves, they won't do it. And then they get mad because they feel like the world's a big, bad, mean place. And then they'll attack the people who do have the money because they view it as being selfish. And you can't get ahead that way. Like, you really, really can't. So, you know, a lot of people make, you know, being poor very virtuous, usually because they don't have the skill set to come out of that. And they'll go and they'll, you know, give out of their hearts and, you know, help the people that nobody else understands, help the people that can't help themselves. Well, everybody can actually help themselves to a much greater degree than they think is possible. It's just not everybody understands that, and they don't understand how they're actually stopping themselves from moving ahead. And so when that happens, you get people who give and give and give, where those quote-unquote snotty rich people don't give. And then they get burned by the people they're trying to help, and they think it's unfair. They think it's unfair nobody helps. They're trying to help other people. They keep getting burned. It's not fair when they're the only ones helping. And why is that happening? Because other people do give. They just give in safer ways because they know that everybody's responsible for it. And they don't give to people who they know are going to be attacking or toxic for them to be involved with, because they understand that the answers are out there and the people can actually find them. It's just they may blow opportunities by going into attack mode or sabotaging or being toxic, because they don't understand that they can or have to help themselves. And these sorts of distinctions seem very unfair when people are in codependency, but they're not. All what somebody's really saying is like, hey, guess what? Read some books on self-development. Do your self-development practices. Take responsibility for your actions. And through those processes, and there's a reason why people preach this stuff so much, is because it actually works. If people do not have enough experience of doing these things, though, if they do not know how to use them in ways that are actually going to help them, they'll actually end up being attacked for doing the positives, because that's what usually happens in very toxic communities. So if somebody has a very toxic community, you can put all the healthy behaviors you want, you're going to get attacked for them. What's the sign of a healthy community? One that you can actually put healthy behaviors in. And it's not that everybody's always going to agree with what you do all the time, but there's a difference between disagreeing and going into attack mode. And again, it's not that everybody's going to agree. Some people are going to debate, but there should be enough room for you to be able to explore healthy behaviors and to do so, you know, mostly without interference. And I'm saying mostly because nobody's perfect, but the higher you go, you're actually supposed to leave people to their path, because when they need help, they'll ask for it because they're more responsible, because they'll ask for help when they need it, versus when people are more in codependency, it becomes like, I shouldn't have to ask for help. You should give me help. You shouldn't read my mind. You should magically know what I need, and it's your fault if you don't give it to me because you didn't read my mind. I shouldn't be responsible for knowing what I want or what I need. And what'll happen is in those communities, you know, the people who ask for that tend to feel they feel like the boundaries are violated a lot. And why do they feel like that? Well, if you're asking for somebody to constantly get in your space, you're really asking for somebody to, or like, you know, read your mind, or when you say no, somebody should know to give it to you anyways. You teach people that you want your boundaries violated. And a lot of people are like, hey, wait a minute, I'm not teaching people that. If you say no, and you don't really mean no, you're telling people when you say no, you really don't mean it. Therefore, they should push anyways. They should help anyways. And, you know, in those sorts of scenarios, the people that are more likely to know what they're doing are not going to violate your boundaries, because they're not going to sit there and hang out with people who are going to yell at them or be sabotaging or toxic to them because they didn't read their mind properly. They're not going to hang out with that, because what you need to be a responsible practitioner enough to ask and say, this is what I need. Would you help me? And asking in a kind way. So they don't, generally speaking, don't hang out with a lot of people who are going to go and attack them because they don't want to ask, point blank and simple. And so the people that are more likely to, you know, sit there and take it, or if somebody's attacking them because they don't know how to serve them, they're more likely to end up in communities where people just think, oh, there's a no, ignore the no, and do what you want anyways, or put pressure on the person because you know best, because they don't. And this is how you end up in like communities where people are very, very violating. So, you know, what's the end result of all of this? Basically, the more responsible we are in all our different areas of life, including going to get the help we need, including our health, including the foods we eat, including our self-development practices, the more responsible we are, the easier life gets, and the more that life turns out well. The more irresponsible people are, they don't want to be responsible for their lives, they think other people should do their work for them, the harder that life tends to be. And there's a very direct correlation between pain and suffering and saying other people should take care of me. And there's a direct correlation between how much happiness and how well life goes for somebody and how much they're willing to take responsibility for their lives. And that's always going to be there. It's just sometimes people have a hard time understanding that. And until they understand that and get the hang of its usage, they tend to, quite frankly, have a lot of pain and suffering. So it's the growth. And the growth is part of like living your potential. And all these positive things for self-development actually have a lot to do with, they're just parts of growing your potential. So to be kind to people is part of growing your business. To be kind to people as part of growing your self-development, it's learning how to grow, it's part of growing your business. And all these things, actually contribute to your well-being. So even though some people are really, you know, have a really hard time with the concept of doing the positive stuff because they're angry, because they're, you know, communities where they feel very toxified, that's what happens as a side result. You can't do the same things of that level and get ahead. And for some people, and I said this before on past shows, some people feel like, well, you know, they do all the positives, it doesn't work, what then? That means you need to grow yourself a few levels. And if you're in a community where people are very threatened by healthy behavior, and that will happen if they don't know how to use it themselves, if they don't have it enough, they will attack it. You're not going to be able to put a lot of healthy behaviors into an unhealthy community without getting attacked. I really want to be clear about this, but you still have to do it. And here's the kicker. Even though people will attack for you doing certain healthy behaviors, they still want to be on the receiving end of themselves, even if they can't deal with it. And if they can't deal with it, they'll attack you when you give them, they'll attack you when you don't give them. So basically, you're just under attack no matter what, because they need them, but they can't deal with them. And until somebody goes to therapy to get that resolved, that's kind of what that's always going to look like with that person. And it can take years for that person to get that resolved if they ever decide to go to therapy. So unless you want to be at the mercy of those people, you have to grow. And the more that you get ahead, then you start to understand more about the people that you can help and what that's going to look like. And your big warning sign, quite frankly, is when you become, for people that you can help versus you can't, it's really like when people, it's how much responsibility people are going to take for their lives. If they, you know, if you're their game plan for everything, that means they really don't have a willingness to go and work their own stuff out in those different areas, you know, point blank and simple. And one little thing, because some people are like, hey, wait a minute, because they know that applies. Even people who they know that applies to them, they're still going to be on the receiving end from other people. And that's why you get in trouble when you're not doing somebody's work for them, even though you can't do it. You try, and some of you have had this experience where you do what they say, and they're yelling at you because you should have magically known that they meant to do it a different way. You're just not now. And they'll change things so much on you that you it actually becomes impossible to actually help somebody. So want two different things that are the exact opposite spectrum, but they figure you should be able to resolve them even though it's completely and absolutely impossible to make those resolutions for those people. And those are the things that are happening when people don't bother taking responsibility for their lives, and they think just like everybody else should resolve them, and they just get to yell or be mad or guilt trip or manipulate or set you up or sabotage, whatever in the meantime. That's why those communities are so toxic, because you cannot resolve something for somebody unless they have the ability and willingness to let it be resolved. And to be clear, not everybody has that. Some people want things resolved, but then you go to do the resolution and they're going to sabotage it because they're not ready for it, because they can't get ready for it by somebody else giving them the result all the time. If they have not done the work themselves or participated in it and have not built that up themselves, they're going to be threatened if that good thing that they say they want comes into their environment and they're not ready for it, because the only way they can get ready for it is they have to do their own work. There's absolutely zero getting away from the fact that everybody has to do their own work on this planet. And the more that people understand that, those are the people that you can help, even if they're not in the most perfect positions right now. And when people don't understand that, they're going to go in attack mode. There's not a whole lot you're going to be able to do until they go and get the proper help that they need. And you can tell them to go get the proper help, and some of them are going to attack you for that because it's a choice. Like, you know, and people sometimes think it's not a choice. They're like, yeah, it's not a choice. It's like, well, did you go do that? No. Well, that's a choice. So, you know, if you want to have safety in helping, if you want to be part of that next phase, you have to look at really, you know, who are you going to help and what are the safest ways to help those people? Because, you know, do I believe that dangerous people still need help? Absolutely. I really want to be clear on that. I still believe dangerous people need help. It's going to be a lot safer to donate to charities that help those people, or to donate to, like, say, scholarships. say, like, I don't know if they have therapy scholarships, but really, if they did, or, you know, somebody should do it, I really think therapy scholarships are some of the best things that you're ever going to be able to do for somebody. Like, really, 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 because that can get somebody so resolved they can be ready for the next phases of their life if they're willing and able. And it's those sorts of things where you can still give, and they may not view it as being giving because they need to do their work in order to, hey, guess what, track down the scholarships in whatever form it looks like. But that's the safest way to be able to give. And it'll also tell you, you know, how ready somebody actually is. Because quite frankly, if they're not willing to even go online to look to find scholarships, the chances that they're going to do anything harder than that to, say, you know, take a $20,000 scholarship to go through school for however many years that would last, depending on where they're going, if they're not going to do it for that, you know, they're going to have to go online. They're not going to really stick through or have perseverance on anything else when it comes to, you know, going to school and having a lot of other issues. So, you know, that requirement of a little bit of work and that they help themselves will really tell you how willing somebody's actually going to do the work, and it'll tell you where it's going to be beneficial to put the resources. So thank you so much. So we're going to get to the mailbag here. We've got Tanya in New York, and she wants me to tell her if her health is going to improve in 2021. So one moment here, Tanya in New York. Okay. Let's see here. One moment. Tanya, functional medicine doctor. The reason I'm saying functional medicine doctor, because they're going to have a lot more answers than a conventional doctor is going to know. Now, I'm not going to say that that's going to get you completely and absolutely healed, but it's going to help you to have some relief, and it's going to get you a lot farther than where you are now. So I don't like giving people bad news sometimes, because sometimes they they feel like they're being drained down with it. And you've got things that can be resolved provided you get the proper help. And I really want to be clear about this. You want to get that proper help. So a functional medicine doctor, when you have mysterious ailments and you've had things like medical procedures in the past, this includes dental things. You've had some weird symptoms after dental things. You broke an arm or a leg or something when you were a kid. You've been in a car accident. For people who've been in abusive relationships, all these sorts of things can have side effects in the body that can create mysterious symptoms that somebody from the Baral Institute that's got enough practices under their belt can actually help resolve, where a general practitioner or even a functional medicine doctor is not going to be able to have the ability to do that. So if we put in the functional medicine doctor, and these are two different modalities, I'm going to suggest both. So one moment here. Hold on. I'm really getting the read that if you want to improve your health, you need to talk to somebody who is like from the Burwell Institute and has got a lot of practice under their belt, and the functional medicine doctor, and you're going to have a huge, huge, huge improvement. They are suggesting, this is not a guarantee, there's other things that can come up. I really want to make this clear, but they're kind of whispering cured. And this is not a guarantee. I really want to be clear about this, because other things can happen in the meantime. There's, you know, you're looking at least a few years. It depends on how much work you do. It depends on the practitioners you get. So this is not like, ooh, guaranteed, but I am seeing a lot of, they're whispering cured. And I don't like saying that. You're responsible for your results. So I can't, like, this is not a guarantee. You're responsible for that if you try to follow it. But just something to think about, that you actually do have quite large capability to be able to get a lot of health issues resolved. And, you know, with that, what spirit considers cured, I am still seeing like a little bit of a limp and still a little bit of an issue. But it really depends on like how long you go for and, you know, what kind of treatment and whether you're following the next modalities. So that is something to keep in mind, but I'm definitely seeing a big improvement provided, again, you do your work and you see the right practitioners. So thank you so much for that, because I always like seeing people who can really make those improvements and who, you know, aren't quite sure that it can actually work that way. And sweetheart, for you, you can definitely have big improvements. Okay, so we have Rose in California. She has two different diagnoses, one from a doctor and one from a naturopath. And she's wondering if I can tell intuitively which one she should go with. So one moment here. Rose. Okay. This is what you're... apparently we're having health day today. Okay. If I see you going by through the doctor, that looks a little scary. If I see you going through the naturopath, I'm not seeing you get the kind of results that I would actually like you to get. So the reason, and here's the thing, I'm a huge fan of naturopaths. I really am. But I also really, really like functional medicine doctors. The reason I like the functional medicine doctors, they have tests that the traditional, like your GP, is not going to have. And this is extraordinarily important. Why do I want you to go for a third diagnosis? Because it'll help you to maybe understand a little bit better and present the different choices. And hold on, let's see here. One moment. And I'm seeing you get the best results with a functional medicine doctor. Now, I do want to give you a little bit of a caveat. I'm not seeing perfect results. let's see. Let's take one moment here. You are another person where it would be a really good idea to check out somebody who's way more advanced from the Baral Institute. That can help as well. Let's see here. Yeah, you're one of those people. You're going to have to take more of a you're going to have to take different modalities in order to be able to get things results more. I'm still, even with the Baral Institute, I'm seeing improvement, but I'm not seeing as good as I would like to have. One moment here. Nope, not try. Okay, so traditional Chinese medicine, no. Let's see here. Possibly kinesiology. You kind of got to be careful with that. Yeah, okay, maybe not the kinesiology, definitely the Baral Institute. The nice thing about kinesiology is they'll be able to teach you to move in ways that you won't get from the Baral Institute unless somebody has that training. I'm not necessarily seeing that's going to help you the most. Let's see here. Okay, so this is kind of like as far as I can get you. I'm checking out, like, you know, sports doctor, and all those sorts of things. And this is about as good as I can get you, is to get you in to see a functional medicine doctor and talking to somebody from the Baral Institute. It's not perfect, but getting those things resolved first can help set the stage so that we'll be able to get more answers after. Let's see, one moment here. Okay, so the traditional Chinese medicine is a yes only after you've gotten to a certain point with the functional medicine doctor and with the Baral Institute. Until that point, the traditional Chinese medicine, I'm seeing, is actually not going to be as beneficial for you. but that Chinese medicine after can really help to take you down the rest of your path, and that's really important. And I know this sounds a little bit strange, you know, like, why would you go to see somebody who can help you only after a certain point? But because the way that certain things work in the body, if you've got certain issues, say physically, that are causing different issues, like say hormones, there's different things that can fuck with your hormones that come from like physical things not working properly in your body. And they need to be resolved, say manually, for example. If those things get resolved, you don't want to overcorrect hormones that are not necessarily working good. Okay, I'm going to say, supposedly I'm not a doctor, so I can't say this is how it works. But I would think, and again, everybody's got their different agreements or disagreements. I'm just being shown the traditional medicine isn't going to work until after you get the other things. And if you have physical issues that are interfering with how your hormones are working, it's not going to be good to have those hormones sort of like over fudged into place if you don't need them fudged into place because something else isn't working. I would think. I'm not a doctor, so I can't say that's the way that it works for sure. There's always the next level, and I haven't found anything that says, yes, that works that way, or no, it doesn't. So I can't say that for sure, especially since I'm not a doctor. So that is just like, I want to be really clear, that is not medical advice. None of this is medical advice. That part's just a guess. But it makes sense to me that, you know, getting those things resolved would make it better to work on some of the things that Chinese medicine is going to work on after those different things are working more and in place. And until then, so there is more help after you get things resolved, but the traditional Chinese traditional medicine is a little bit further down the path. And again, not perfect, but definitely a lot better than where I'm seeing that you're currently at. So you too have a lot of room for improvement, which is always nice. I always love seeing that. It's a huge relief. I'm feeling relief seeing that, so I can imagine how you would be feeling. So there is definitely hope, and it's definitely going to be worth going to check out. And again, you are responsible for your results. I can't be responsible for them, so please keep that in mind. And this is not medical advice. It's just a read and what I'm seeing. So thank you so much. And again, there's other things that can interfere with that. So we have Elaine P. Can she get a reading about her daughter? Is she going to reconnect over the holidays? Nope. Okay. So one moment here. Going to sound a little funny. So sometimes, Elaine, when our own hormones are a little out of whack or when we have other health issues, they can actually cause us to worry a lot more. And when we're in that worrying state, or when we're not perhaps in the best mood, it can make it a lot easier for people to want to come around us when we have certain health issues resolved. That maybe make it a little bit more uncomfortable for the kids to come around with when they're not. So I do really want to be clear about this. Your daughter does have a willingness. I do see a willingness in there. But for the reconnection, she's going to need some things to sort of change within you in order for things to be a little bit more comfortable and be a little bit more incentive. Now, you can't sort of like just force your way into being a happier mood, and I'm getting a lot of negative resistance. I'm like, not quite like that, but, you know, it's not like the happiest feeling, Elaine, that I'm seeing from you at the thought of doing that. But when we have things that are that we need to work out, we don't always understand the impact that they have on other people. Now, you know, when it's our own parents, you know, you can see from you know, other people how they may be driving you nuts or be a little bit irritating or, you know, a little bit more stressful to deal with. And if they had worked some of their stuff out, you know, yeah, they'd be a little bit more pleasant to be around. So I'm not seeing, so yeah, it's just, you know, so having a conversation with somebody, getting the health checked out, functional medicine doctor, you know, you can have issues with hormones and have problems with being more of a worrywart. Who knew that happens? Yay, benefits of getting older, woohoo. And all these sorts of things. And there can actually be hormonal contributions to it. There can be somatic therapy can help relieve that stuff. You can have vitamins and minerals missing that can make it easier to be happier. So for you, I would really suggest, if you're needing to talk to somebody, I would really suggest talking to a somatic therapist. I would also really suggest talking to a really good functional medicine doctor. I think there you have, it looks like you have an ability to be more, sounds kind of funny to say, solid in your energy, but that's actually a really positive thing. You actually have more of an ability to be solid in your energy, which means you're going to be, when people are solid in their energy more, it actually makes them easier to be around. And that sounds a little bit funny to say, but it's like having somebody who's a worrywart, if they're more full in their energy, they're going to be calmer. They're going to be less likely to be upset by the ins and outs. And that if it's a health issue that's contributing to that, when you're willing to let it go, it can be easier to do it and just actually have that sometimes just more naturally happen. And sometimes people can be very pleasantly pleased by the results. And, you know, I'm seeing you got a really loving daughter. You know, and I'm seeing getting some of those things resolved. It's like, oh, there she is. And it's like, oh, look, Elaine's got her daughter back. And, you know, and your daughter looks very happy. You know, it's really, really wonderful. But right now, things away. Your daughter's got things to do. She's okay on her own. You know, she's actually having kind of a good time. So I really want to be clear. It's not that your daughter doesn't love you, but if you want that relationship with your daughter, sometimes people get resistant about this because they don't understand the effect that they have on other people, but it's for your own good to get that resolved. And I mean, really, your whole life is going to go, has the potential to go a lot. Well, not quite a lot, but it definitely has potential to go easier and more smooth. And the more work that you do, the more potential you're going to have to really, you know, make things happen for yourself. So, I mean, you've got at least some ease coming if you're going to go get the health issues resolved. And I'd really love to see you do that because, you know, you really have a wonderful daughter. I really want to be clear about that. And the love that I see in your relationship, it would be really lovely if you had that in your life. So thank you for writing in. Let's see. So we have Douglas in the UK, and he's working out a legal issue. So one moment here. And he's wondering if I see a favorable outcome. Also, he wants to know if there's anything he needs to know or could work on to help it along. Yes, Douglas! I love that. Is there anything he could work on to help it along? Yeah, man, that's what we're talking about here. So one moment here, Douglas in the UK. Your question made me happy, Douglas. So one moment here. Okay. I'm not seeing a favorable outcome, unfortunately. I don't think it's not looking like it's going to look how you want it to look. One moment here. Hold on. One moment. Okay, so a little favorable. Well, that's good. Okay, so not as good as you want, but I am seeing a little bit of a favorable outcome. Let's see. To help it along, one moment here. So this is going to sound a little bit funny, but increasing honesty. I know that sounds a little bit strange. And, you know, I get people who say, like, well, they're honest, and it's like, you know, so honesty is like not exaggerating anything. It's being very upfront about like where we made errors, you know, what our responsibilities were without twisting it around to make somebody else at fault. If we twisted anything around, and this is like in all areas, this is not just a legal case, but untwisting the places where we've twisted it to make things wrong can, number one, help you immensely because people respond to that. Because here's the thing, I'm not seeing the other party really having much of a willingness to work things out. People are drawn to honesty. They are very not, they really don't like to cooperate when there's a lot of twists and turns. And sweetie, I'm seeing a lot of twisting and turning in your energy. And I am seeing about I'm not good at the math stuff. See an extra fifth, more of a favorable outcome, provided that, you know, you start leaving off the twists and turns. And those are going to be things that are going to serve you more overall. It'll help, you know, it'll help people overseeing the case sort of like give you more of a fair outcome. It'll help people to be able to work with you better, but you got to do it honestly, and that's the key. So thank you so much for asking about that. I'm really happy about that. I really like that, you know, you're asking like, what can I do? Because you've got, I mean, that can really make a huge difference in your energy. It can help make a difference in how people are responding to you. You know, that not twisting things around, man, people, people sometimes underestimate exactly how much of an impact that can have in their lives, and it's one of the most beautiful things that you can ever do for yourself. So thank you so much for writing in. So one moment here. Okay, so this is going to be a quick one because we're coming up to the top of the hour here. So we have Nancy M., and she's thinking of quitting her day job and working from home and wondering if that looks like a positive move for her. So one moment, Nancy M. Okay, one moment here. Okay, so you working from home is definitely going to feel a lot better. I'm seeing a lot of feelings of isolation and loneliness when you're out and about. Energetically, you're going to be doing much better by staying at home. Let's see, financially, unfortunately, financially, I don't see that working out so well. So there are some things that you're going to have to do in order to be able to make that leap. But energetically, it looks like it's a very healthy move for you. You just got to work on some of the financials so that works out a lot better. So thank you, everybody, so much for writing in. My name is Elho Shotari. You can find me at www.enlightmentinthecity.com. You can find me here on newsforthesoul.com every single week at 3 p.m. PST. So I'm an intuitive coach. I do reading. And the coaching is really huge. The nice one about it is your first one is free. So you can come in, we can get you clear on a couple of things. You can check out my energy and we can see like what that's going to look like for you in the future. So thank you so much, everybody. Please take care of yourselves. I love you. Stay strong. And I'm going to say stay safe, not because you believe in the pandemic, but stay safe because you need to keep your truth and you need to rise above all the crap that's happening right now. So thank you so much. I love you. And don't buy into this crap. Okay? Thanks. Bye-bye.
Stay focused. Stay strong. News for the Soul will begin its 24th year of broadcasting in January 2021. After nearly a quarter of a century of grassroots investigation and exploration into the unknown and lesser known realm to discover what's really real and what's really possible, with News for the Soul founder, journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm, we now find ourselves here in this pivotal moment in human history. Staying in our power and in our hearts is more crucial than ever. We are continuing to work 24/7 at News for the Soul Broadcasting to uncover deeper truths and techniques to best maneuver through these very challenging times. We are increasing our broadcasting hours to support and serve you in the highest way possible. Tune in daily to discover new hosts and radio shows, and to hear Nicole Marie's latest cutting-edge interview with luminaries of our times, speaking to what's happening in our world today from a conscious perspective. Community, consciousness, and positive empowered focus are crucial elements right now for us all. Stay focused. Stay strong. For over 20 years, we've known this simple concept to be true. What you focus on expands. That is more important than ever in 2020 and beyond. In times of social distance and lockdown, we must connect with our community more deeply and more often, and we are here for you. Our live shows and our show archives are always totally free to hear anytime. Just go to newsforthesoul.com to tune in and find out more. That's newsforthesoul.com, and spread the word so that others can avail themselves of this free resource as well. That's newsforthesoul.com. Stay focused. Stay strong.